Looky here, bitches. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother. You fucking dick knobs.
You bitch ass nigga, as high as Wu-Tang get. I'll allow us pop this shit. Just like black shoe fit. If you can wear it, well don't fuck with it.
Yo, too many songs, weak rhymes is mad long. Make it brief, son, half short and twice strong. No doubt you took time searching. Eventually, it was prime urgent for you to examine the rhyme merchant. Laced MCs with styles when they rhyme drunk. On a label hunt until 20,000 out the trunk. 8 diagrams, sword swinging on my tank force. RZA throwing the disc, but then changed the bank source. It can't flow.
Okay.
Must be the speech impediment. You got lost off the snare, off impeached the president. Whether in Amsterdam, smoking 7 grams of green venue pack. 1,000 white teens in tight jeans. This witty, unpredictable shots is critical to analytical analogy. Insurance policies, why? He said he know that sound, but then find a note. Couldn't recognize, blast him the fuck behind the ropes. Too many dope niggas I see starving. Catch a single deal, a possible plea bargain. New slang, regardless to whom or what. 5 mics, 5 nights, hanging from the balcony, dropping 25 flights. A fugitive bass playing rap czar. Smoked a cigar, his prints on the strings of his guitar.
As Wu-Tang get. I'll allow us pop this shit. Just like black shoe fit. If you can wear it, but don't fuck with it.
Y'all got a hold on ya, doing exactly what the fuck a marijuana. This nigga nasty, deep in the dirty dungeon, bugging, loving the way these rhymes keep coming at you, splash ya, get your headpiece fractured with killer cuts from the Shropshire, slasher, rip shit up. Got this whole thing mastered. Show nothing, MC, too good to be touched. John, bring the phenomenon, I co-crush. MC, inferiorities, they froze up. Ice cold, as we move on, saga unfold. Captivated by a saga that go one toe. Like goat banger, caught up in a cliffhanger. Yo, INS, another kill red. Danger, break out the vest. Now it's tactical warfare, it's on here. Come with your shield and hardware. It be on here, don't ever roam in the naked city, aiming in stories none pretty. Bomb them with the witty. Unpredictable, conditioning be critical. Piece the tank, getting high on your physical. This next drink is a toast to your memory. When I go, how many niggas gon' remember me?
As high as Wu-Tang get, I'll allow us pop this shit. Just like black shoe fit. If you can wear it, but don't fuck with it.
The DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and dish you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
In the homo, we've been punching.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No. No. No.
Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Have you tried the coffee yet?
Oh, yeah! What's going on, everybody out there in Radio Land? Fuck the old snap! This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Heroes Talk, that's HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. But listen, there's more to say, there's more to do. There's plenty more for me to bring to you that rhymed, and if you liked it, if you saw the craftsmanship, the engineering, then maybe you're German, and maybe you like Rammstein! Love it.
Deutsch Schlockenstecken.
They're so just peaceful and loving. Speaking of peaceful and loving, your friend, my friend, the Germ Freak. Germ Freak, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up?
How did you enjoy the intro song tonight? Was it pretty good?
If you
can't wear it, don't fuck with it. Basically.
I specifically asked you for a more of a pop song, and you picked that.
I want to be a pop singer and a rock singer and write my own songs and produce my own songs. Well, you know what? You told me you wanted something pop. Well, I went the other way. You complained that the previous intros were a little too urban, I guess you could say. That's the thing. You thought they were a bit too urban.
They get worse and worse.
So I hit you with the urbanist, if urbanist is an actual word. Frank, what's going on today?
How you doing, Ken?
I'm feeling pretty well, and would you like to know why?
Sure.
Because the impossible happened. I came across in an email sent to me from everybody's pal, an enforcer of the law, Officer Jerk, that contained probably the greatest headline that I've ever seen in print ever. The greatest. Now, you think of impossible dreams. You think of things that could never, ever happen. And then just picture this in your mind. This headline, Prom King with Down Syndrome Goes to College. How are you going to start an article with that and not expect people to just completely die from heart attacks? It's just incredible to me that the people at this high school, what I'm gathering is, I didn't read the article because I couldn't get past the headline. And I do that because I'm ignorant, and that's just how I do things. The guy is a prom king, he's retarded, and he's going to college. Now, I'm willing to bet that he either goes to a high school filled with very, very cruel, cruel people that are terrible and awful, that they're saying, you know, let's not vote for the quarterback. Let's not pick him as the homecoming queen. Let's pick the retard who eats his boogers and puts it on a yellow piece of paper to save it for the last day of class so that he can have an awesome and tasty walk back home. I don't know, Frank. Did you have a retarded person in your class?
Well, I partially have Down syndrome myself. And the fact
Excuse
of
me?
This...
What do you mean?
I have Down syndrome.
You don't have... I mean, you act like you do. I don't think you have Down syndrome.
No, this was obviously, you know, just playing a joke, just trying to get somebody like this voted. And I think it's awful because he's a mockery, and it's the teachers and the faculty should never have let it happen.
They say that now he... Because, you know, I'm looking at it, and maybe I did read a little bit of it, okay? I'm not all...
So why did you say you didn't?
Because I wanted to seem edgy, and I wanted to seem crazy, and just insane, that I would see headlines and just take it at face value. But no, I read into this a bit. He teaches hockey. He coaches hockey to kids. So he's in a position of power, I guess, or of fucking tutelage to some young kids. Am I to believe that this is some really incredible individual, or do you really think that it's just a joke? They picked him as the prom king.
I'm not
going to
sit here and make a mockery out of somebody who has a lesser god, because I'm glad that he's going to college.
Wait,
to make something
someone himself. Who has a lesser god?
Well, you know, you say to yourself, when you have kids like this, are they children of a lesser god? Which I think was a Broadway play back in the 70s. And what we mean by that is...
Thank you for keeping it current. I mean, I'm trying to bring new news to this.
Does that mean, you know, what do you want me to say? All right, he's going to college. I'm happy for him.
Me too. Let's send a basket of fruit. Just really big fruit with no wrappings on it so we can get to it. I don't know. He's on... And couldn't you get a better picture of the guy? He obviously graduated from high school. He's going to college. You'd think, and he's a star hockey player. Do you think in some course of his life they could have found a picture that doesn't scream, "Hey, I'm retarded. Why don't you photograph me in an article dedicated to my excellence?" They have him in an oversized blue collared shirt petting a tiny dog with the stereotypical retarded grin. Yeah.
Do you think this goes over well, describing a photograph for people who are mostly listening to this?
The picture's funny? Should I not describe it for
All right, no, I'm just
How
I'm just
does
curious.
Your mind work when people describe things
curious.
To you? When
I'm
you
just
read
curious.
Vivid descriptions of
well,
things?
Well, we really can't get it. Even though you're describing, it's still hard to get a sense of what you're talking about.
Only because you are, maybe, partially retarded. Maybe you weren't joking. Irish curse has it. Theater of the mind. Express it with your voice and your thoughts and your words, and people will build it. People will see what you see. They'll see what you see. Unlock worlds known only to you. Frank, continue. Yeah. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, I was going to say, have you ever known anybody in your family? Has anybody in your family or have known anybody that was less fortunate?
You talking like somebody who can't get bread at Christmas? Why is this less fortunate?
Well,
someone with an affliction, someone with this genetic disorder.
Yes.
You say less fortunate, like they have fucking nothing to eat but crumbs. These are well-fed people. These are people that are cared for. Most retarded people, you know, lead cared for lives. They're not less fortunate. I mean, granted, they came up on the short end of the fucking genetic stick, but
right.
Less fortunate's not the way to go. But I haven't really known truly retarded people. I mean, I've obviously encountered them. I mean, I'm a human. I go places. I see things. You see the retarded person. You try to play that game. How long can I look away? Okay, 35 seconds. That's the number. Every single time, 35 seconds.
Now,
to go and peek.
Why is it?
You gotta peek.
Why is it like a magnet? Why do you feel you need to stare?
It's out of the
ordinary. What is it about it?
Just today, as I was doing my pre-show ritual, which I have a ritual, I'm willing to admit this. We'll talk about that. Somebody was approaching the car at a fucking snail's pace, and the reason being is because they have swollen tree trunks for legs, but a thin torso. It looks like they were wearing like 18 flesh leg warmers. They were wearing jean shorts, which we've commonly called jorts. And they had really like grimace shaped legs, and they were trolling along. And I'm trying to just put, yes, you know, this is perfectly acceptable. I'm looking at this. This is you. This is me. But you can't keep it up. You have to eventually look and observe everything that is out of your ordinary plane.
Do you feel bad when you're looking? Do you feel like you're doing something wrong?
I do. But the thing is, I mean, people stare. There are people that don't even want to offer the common courtesy of like looking away or pretending everything's cool. Oh, extra eye. Yeah, it happens. Huh.
I guess it's just looking at, like, I cannot help but stare at homeless people. But I guess it's just because they're different. And you want to see something.
Anything different, you'll look at. It's something that you're not used to seeing. You look at it like you'll never see it again, even though you will probably at like the next corner. I mean, when it comes to homeless people, they're a pretty common occurrence.
Now, how do you look? Do you look through your peripheral vision?
I look at them, toe to head, bring my head up, and then I lick my lips like that, and I chomp with my teeth like in Top Gun, like that right at them. No, you peek. You just like kind of like dart over, and it's almost the same fashion that you would use to like maybe check out an attractive set of tits or a well-defined female ass. What?
Well,
I mean, it's not the same goal, obviously. It's seeing something that maybe you want to see, in this case, because it's so out of the ordinary. You know, you employ the same tactic. You look out of the side of your eye like Pele. You quickly turn, maybe. You just kind of say, is that a Burger King? And you pretend to look at the Burger King, but you're really just studying their enlarged features. Their slimy lips, their, in this case, the tree trunk, grimace-shaped legs. I mean, it's something that, you know, you just do. And everybody does it. And I think because everybody does it, it's, you know, I think they expect it. They're used to it. So, I mean, you could probably just study them. Like an exhibit at a fucking museum. Just, this one is interesting. just stare at it. I don't know. Irish Curse is saying that the best he can do is just try not to openly laugh. How do you handle it? You see somebody that's disfigured, someone that's a little
different. I feel
terrible
inside. I tell you how I handle it. I feel awful. I thank God how fortunate I am.
But the thing is, they don't know that. Like, how would the public perceive you while you're observing somebody that's a little bit different than you? How would you be seen? Are you darting your eyes around? What do you do to observe them? What's your move?
I'll look once, and then I say to myself, I'm not going to look again, and then I'll look again. It's sort of like an addiction, if you will. But then eventually I just feel bad for looking, and I just, you know, I won't look anymore.
And the thing is, if you just got all your looking right out of the way, you just looked them up and down, so okay, that's that, you wouldn't keep having to look back. But like, we do it in such short bursts that we end up looking back at these people 50, 60 times.
Like, I was in a store with my son, and he said to me, why is that girl's tongue sticking out of her mouth? And what could I say?
Was she making a face, or was she giving a face?
I prefer not to answer that. But, you know, it's a sad thing because they don't know how to react. You know, they don't know what to say. And it's just an awful, awful thing. And I apologize, God, for all that.
Wow, it's good. It's rare when Frank has to feel like he has to apologize to a deity. And I guess the subject of mentally challenged, retarded, slow, disfigured.
Did you when you were in school? Did people ever say to you? Did your parents ever say to you, "Never make fun of somebody who's retarded because you may have kids like that"? Parents ever say that to you?
My parents never said that to me. They never had to. I mean, I never really made fun of the retarded.
But you made fun of a lot of people in school, didn't you?
I made fun of able-bodied people. I made fun of people that were, by all fucking bets, were able to handle themselves, but they either didn't or they did. And I wasn't the nicest kid in the world. And eventually, like, guilt hit me back, and I wondered how many people had my name on a list. As far as you know, people
you got paranoid.
People
didn't
are going to get back. No, I would picture them walking home, insulted. And yeah, this might be hilarious, but I picture them opening the door and parents saying, "How was your day at school?" And like, this is their fucking pride and joy.
Why don't you back this up a little bit, New Style? Maybe give us the background. What exactly you're talking about here?
No, it's any time that I've made fun of somebody. I always picture the parents. That love this kid. The parents.
You used to make fun of a lot of people
that,
in school. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
You were a bully.
I was not a bully. I insulted people. I never physically, you know.
Did you ever make somebody cry?
I may have. I mean, never to my face. They may have gone home. Like that's what I most felt guilty about. Like, is this kid going home and fucking crying his eyes out because nobody likes him? That shit got to me. Now it's kind of like it seems a little bit like, you know, douchey to say this, but like you do feel a little guilty after you pick on somebody for a certain amount of time. You do feel a little bit guilty, especially when they don't do anything back. That's the worst. They just sit there and they fucking absorb insult after insult, but they don't change their greasy head or face. I mean, come on, Oxy wipes. Do something. Febreze yourself. I don't know. You're a stinky kid. But the thing is, that doesn't change the fact that I was an asshole. Were you ever a person that made fun of people, or you were always the fucking Cub Scout, always the fucking Boy Scout, ready to just come to anybody's aid?
I never made fun of anybody who was mentally challenged. Never.
Well, don't make me to be the fucking villain, because I never did either. Nope. You made fun of people. I made fun of people. It's the fucking facts of life, Frank.
Excuse me.
I mean, I may be mean, but okay, I'm a little bit mean, but I do feel guilty for my meanness, and I'm also.
Do you feel that you're good at insulting people?
I would say that I have a fair ability at insulting people. I don't think I'm the best.
But you're pretty quick witted. Is that what you're saying?
I think I am. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for what? Why are you thanking me?
No, I just want to thank you for acknowledging my question.
You make no sense to me sometimes, Frank.
I apologize.
You make absolutely no sense. You ask a question, you get an answer, and then an abrupt thank you right after I say yes or no.
Well, I'm thanking you for your answer!
You fucking flip out. It's,
all right,
it's
whatever.
Insane.
Next.
So I may be mean, but I am also, no matter what I am, I'm also a disgusting and horrible person. And I'm willing to admit this today. I caught myself doing something on the way to work that you might find to be really disgusting. I think a lot of people would. For some reason, I think you're supposed to be embarrassed with this, but I just give so little concern to how people view me on my ride to work, because I know where I'm going and I know how long I have to be there and I know when I'll be home again. So I really just don't give a fuck how I appear. I woke up today very mucusy, Frank. Very mucusy. Throat cookies. Nostrils filled with fucking just shit. So I'm driving to work and I look at myself in the rear view and I see half my fucking index finger in my nose. I'm like, what am I doing? I pass cars. I'm stopped at lights with people. I don't think I had my finger out of my nose the entire way down, and I just didn't. I didn't care. I had just the sudden awareness of this.
You were determined, weren't you?
I had to get the snot out of my fucking, the fucking long stringy boogers out of my fucking nose. I have them now. I'm very congested today. Very, very congested. Just disgusting, Frank. Do you pick your nose at all?
Do I sit here all day and pick it? No. If I find that there's a booger that won't quit, I'll take care of it.
And sometimes you have to try all angles, try different fingers, if you will. Like when you approach a hole at a golf course, you don't know if you're going to go with the 5-iron. You don't know if you're going to have to drive it sometimes. You have to make that decision.
I did see something I never saw before. I saw a woman driving, and you know, a young woman, and she was picking her nose. And usually, you don't see young women doing that.
Really, you don't usually see them, but you know they do. Everybody does, I think. And I didn't eat it like some disgusting people. And
do you look at people to see if they have boogers in their nose when you're looking at them?
No, I don't visually inspect their nostrils. I don't look at them like I'm a fucking doctor at SeaWorld inspecting a fucking seal.
Before you leave the house, do you ensure that there's no boogers showing in your nose?
That's part of my morning routine. And I saw some today, and I took care of it. But then I started feeling like the little globules of snot in my nasal cavity. So I had to try and get them out. I didn't have a tissue handy, so I just right up there.
Can you blow your nose without looking in a mirror when you're in public?
Wait, why wouldn't you be? Why would you need a mirror to blow your nose?
Well, to ensure that you're not leaving any remnants up there that are not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think most people can. I don't think everybody has to go to a reflective surface to blow their nose. You do? Is that what you're saying?
I will not blow my nose unless I could see it in the mirror.
Do you look at it? Do you open the tissue and look at it?
I do not look at it. No, that's foul.
You never inspect any of your waste. I don't understand.
It's just it. Waste. Why inspect waste?
Because your snot can tell a decent tale. If your snot is different colors, then, you know, you can probably choose a course of action. If you have really green snot, then that means you probably have an infection. If it's clear, you know, it's just some, you know, fucking passing thing. If it's red, then you know you have to shove a fucking tissue or whatever in your fucking nose. Really, you look at the tissue. You look in the bowl. Frank, it's not that out of the question. I may feel disgusting and horrible for having to do it. And I don't really see the reason of being embarrassed about this. I mean, there was the Seinfeld episode. I'll relate it in terms you can understand, the Seinfeld references. With the pick, Jerry was just itching, but somebody thought he was picking. And he was very concerned at what they thought. I don't get like that. How about you? You pick your nose, someone sees you. Do you feel embarrassment?
No.
No. A little bit.
Depends on who looks.
Complete stranger.
I don't do it so people can look. I have a little courtesy.
See, the thing, Frank, I don't care what most people think about
what
I'm
doing.
Well,
that's just you, because you're a badass.
I'm a renegade, Frank. I'm talking about picking my nose, not fucking punting puppies
into
a lake.
I'm getting nauseous just talking about this.
Are you really disgusted by snot?
Yeah, I mean, it's boring. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Fine.
I want to move on.
Do you litter?
I am a strong proponent of not littering. I never litter.
Ever?
I think never.
Because I was. Would you consider throwing a booger out of a window littering? Would you consider that littering? If I take right out of my nose and flick it out the driver's side
window? I
would not
consider that littering, no.
Okay. So that's small enough. It's natural. It washes away. I take a piece of gum, a little tiny wrapper. Flick it into a little ball the size of a third of a marble. Throw it out my driver's side window. Is that littering?
It is. Yes, that's littering.
What's
and
the difference?
Also littering when people throw their goddamn cigarette butts out the fucking window. Well, that grates on me.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a little tiny piece of paper rolled up. It's about the width of a pencil eraser. I'm throwing it out of my window. It will biodegrade.
That's littering.
Why is that littering? Why?
It doesn't belong in the street, that's why.
Neither does my booger, but that's okay.
It doesn't belong in the street. Listen to me. Let's get
back
to this.
So you would be fine with streets paved in snot?
I mean, if You know, if somebody has a hair that they want to throw out the window or a piece of lint, that's one thing. But when you start throwing stuff like that, it's just awful. And what I don't understand is, you see that they have signs that says littering, $250 fine for littering. You ever see those signs?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Why are they limited to $250? Why not just say, we're going to cut your nuts off if you litter? Or if you
because
litter,
we don't live in fucking Yemen.
Right. But it will prevent people will say, oh, $50, I'll chance it. But if they say that we will castrate you, then they're not going to do it for sure. See? Make it a $1 million fine. Make it that they'll cut your arm off fine. Don't make it a $50 fine.
In my trip to Chicago, on the buses, every bus has a sign that says, no eating, no littering, or you will pay a $300 fine with an exclamation point. Ooh. Here, I'll drop $300 on the seat and just spill a fucking Yoo-Hoo all the way down the fucking bus.
How aggravated do you get when people throw their cigarette butts out the window? Does that irk you?
That doesn't bother me. If I saw that fine and I knew there was no jail sentence, I would just, if I was rich enough, I would just lay out hundreds and just fucking litter all day. I would.
The worst part of it is when it's lit and you could still see, and it's at nighttime and whatnot, and you could still see the ashes just bouncing off the fucking roadway. You could still see the fucking the color of the fucking cigarette ash.
Especially at night, you see them. Yeah. They're done sucking on this fucking the cancer causing thing, and then they're gonna fucking throw it in a dust brush so
right.
they can start a fucking forest fire.
Right.
I mean, like all these forest fires. Throwing a fucking a Benson and Hedges out of his fucking shitty Mercury Topaz.
Are cars now made with ashtrays or are they made with ashtrays or no? Are there ashtrays in new cars?
I don't think they're as prevalent. I think they have like slots for stuff, but you can get the smoker's package and then have an ashtray.
Oh,
like where in my car I have a slot where an ashtray would be. But it's like a rubberized thing, and it says not an ashtray on it. And I just throw pennies in there. They don't come with it. You have to. I think you have to shell out a little bit more. Mark Doc is checking, and he says no. You need to special order them only. So yeah, the smoker's ashes thing or whatever, smoker's package thing, whatever. But yeah, all the compartments now say not an ashtray. They have a big sticker because you can't tell that you shouldn't be putting fire in a rubberized hole in your car. Amazing. Amazing, Frank.
I've stopped people. I've said something to people sometimes for doing that. People have thrown it out the window and before we'll come to a stoplight and they'll be next to me and I say something to them. I says, you know what? I says, you have an ashtray in your car? Use it. Don't use the street as your ashtray.
Well, now you can't use that because what if they don't have the smoker's package and you look like a big asshole?
Well,
my dick. So you actually go up to somebody. What do you do? The little roll down circle thing to match your outdated fucking ashtray comment?
Well, first of all, I don't have a roll down window. I have a power windows. I'm not
so.
Sure
what do you do?
You're
driving. What's the symbol for the signal for roll down your windows with the power windows?
You put
little,
down your windows.
You put your finger out and then press down.
You know, I give people dirty looks too. I'll like look at the ground and I'll look back and I'll say, animal. It's just, I hate that. But, you know, everything else, as far as spitting gum out the window, I'm not going to deny that I've done it before.
What is the smallest thing that you would throw out the window that you wouldn't really care that it goes out?
Probably a piece of gum.
So nothing bigger than a piece of gum.
Will you throw like a cup out the window?
I would throw a fucking Gatorade bottle into the woods.
See, you know what? I'm going to throw it on your fucking street one day.
But the thing is, it's filled with piss. So it's kind of natural. I mean, you think about it, everything came from the earth. So, I mean, except for space-age polymers. So I guess I'm screwed there, unless it's a glass Gatorade bottle. But as long as I clear it into the woods, no one's going to find it for like 15 years. So it doesn't matter. what's the biggest thing you throw out of the window? Just gum? That's it? Nothing bigger?
Yeah, I'm a strong proponent in not littering. That's one of my pet peeves is littering. I don't litter.
So you have an appointment. You're running late. You grab a banana to eat for breakfast.
Have you
you're
seen
eating,
the inside of my?
Listen to
have
me.
You seen
I'm
the
fucking
inside
talking.
Of my car? Have you ever seen the inside of my car?
I'm fucking talking to you, fucking dick. Yes, obviously I've seen your car.
It's littered with garbage.
What the fuck, Frank? I'm trying to fucking say something.
Oh, I apologize.
Jesus Christ. You're late for late for an appointment. Follow me here. Focus. You grab a banana for breakfast. I don't care if you don't like them. You eat it while driving. Now you're left with the peel. What do you do with this peel? You can't throw it on the ground. You have fucking fruit flies. Because I know you just throw wrappers and shit on the ground. What do you do with the banana peel?
I throw it in my back seat.
You throw a banana peel in the back seat?
Yeah.
How often do you get rid of that fucking that garbage pile, that fucking landfill?
Once every couple months.
Once every couple months. No wonder that you were going dizzy a while back from the sour milk in your leftover Starbucks cups.
Yeah, I had sour milk one time.
I hope you get fucking fleas in like an open wound. And then Jeff's dad has to fucking chop you apart and kill you. Because you have maggots in your open wounds. You would throw a banana peel in your back seat.
Absolutely.
Throw it out the window.
I throw apple vines in my back seat. Whatever.
Throw them out the window. Would you be upset if you saw someone throwing a banana peel out the window?
Of course I would.
Why? It's from the earth. It's like if they threw some grass out the window, a little clump of grass and dirt. They throw it out of the window. That's nothing. It's almost the same thing.
Okay.
You take it, and if they don't throw it far enough, maybe. If they throw it on the road, maybe. But it's okay. You can throw an apple core, a banana peel. Any of that shit can go right out the window. I have no problem with that. The Gatorade bottle, that's an extreme example. But if it's filled with piss, I'm not going to keep it in my car. I don't like any garbage in my car. You're apparently very comfortable with that.
I don't mind. It's my garbage.
What does your wife say about this? She uses your car sometimes. Does she ever have to wear fucking waders to get into your fucking just sopping moist car? I mean, I don't understand. How can you live like that?
Well, I usually don't have it in the driver's section, but I usually just put them in the passenger. And, you know, sometimes if I see a garbage can where they have the thing that sticks out like a mailbox, I'll throw some stuff in there. But I'm usually too lazy to do that.
You are a little bit lazy. You are a little bit lazy. So you would rather the fines be torture and extreme
right.
Unpayable amounts of money for littering.
Right, because then you're going to be assured that nobody's going to do it. If you fine them $50, somebody may think that they'll get away with it.
The thing See? Is, the punishment for murder in a few states is death, and people still kill people. So people don't necessarily care about consequences that exhaust their finances or their lifetime. People don't really give a fuck about that. There are people that will just fucking continue to throw gum on the roads. And yeah, you'll kill them. But now, what about the next guy? You're just going to keep killing all these fucking people and maiming them and cutting their balls off like some fucking savage from, a sandy land. Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you just... Just fucking make them pay the $250, whatever, and then and then use the money you would have used to execute them to maybe sweep the streets like they're doing now. I think they have it figured out, Frank. I don't think they need your extreme forms of fucking punishment. Now, are you embarrassed to approach people like that? Like somebody throws a cigarette, you're just completely brazen. You'll tell them to roll down their window and give them a talking to at a stoplight.
I have in the past.
And your wife's in the car. Does she, like, sink into her seat? Does she get embarrassed about that? Have your kids ever told you to not
do
that? Daddy, don't do that, Daddy. Never?
No, I'm not going to do it with my family there. Of course not.
Because, like, kids are really embarrassed of their parents. I mean, are your kids at that age? I mean, like, I think there's a certain age. What do you think the age is where
your parents... I think when
they start becoming...
Well, in my kid, my, I guess when they become teenagers, my daughter right now is so worried about being embarrassed. You know, don't embarrass, don't do this, don't talk too loud, don't embarrass. but the funny thing is, when you approach high school or whatever, a teenager, you're sort of embarrassed to be seen with your parents. For some reason,
it's true.
Do you find it to be the case?
That's definitely the truth. Like if you go out to dinner with them, like you'll have your head down. You don't want to make eye contact. Maybe someone from your school might see you with your parents, and that would be the worst. I look back on it now. I have no idea why it was so embarrassing. I can't even fucking fathom it. But Halo Man here, who is in the Ustream chat room, because he's banned from every other room. He probably would feel pretty embarrassed to be out at a movie with his parents or something like that. Has your daughter, who is approaching that age, I guess, Has she exhibited any signs of not wanting to be around you?
No, I mean, she hasn't gone that far yet. I mean, she'll still, you know, when I stand with her by the bus stop, she'll still kiss me goodbye and everything. But she's just worried about, you know, if I talk too loud or if I do, I can't have the radio on too loud. She's afraid she'll be embarrassed.
Oh, God. That it's going to happen. There'll be one day when you wait for that little kiss at the bus stop and she just quickly runs off to her friends, right on the bus, just wants to be with her friends and away from you. And that's where it begins for like 4 years or something like that. And then you're cool again. Then she can be seen with you.
Like when you were in high school, would you have gone to the movies with your parents on a Saturday night?
No. Never.
Why is that?
You just don't want to be seen with your parents. They're lame.
Why is it embarrassing to be seen with your parents?
I personally don't know why, but you just had that feeling of you want to be with your friends. You want to try and explore being on your own or whatever.
Would you go to the movies at the age you are now, 30, with your parents on a Saturday night?
See, I'm okay with you rounding up, whereas you, 40-year-old, basking in the days of yore. Yeah, I would definitely go now. I would go with my parents in a heartbeat now, and I wouldn't give a shit because I just spent a half hour driving to work with my fucking every finger from index to pinky in my fucking left nostril. So I really don't care now what people think. But back then in school, yeah. And the worst was if you were out and then all of a sudden in a non-school setting you run into somebody you don't like at school. You see them with their parents. And they see you with your parents. That was the worst. Because now, what are you going to say? Oh, you guys go to the same school. Yeah, we hate each other. But no, your parents want you to talk. They're friends, maybe. They're talking back and forth. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Has that ever happened to you when you were a kid? When you bump into somebody in a non-school setting that you only know from school? It's awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward. I don't know if it's come up too often, but... But what about, like, would you have gone to the mall with your mother as a teenager or what have you?
No, definitely not as a teenager. But there was, you know, many, many a time when I actually looked forward to, like, the back-to-school shopping or whatever. You know, you get your new trapper, all that shit. But then at some age, maybe 11, maybe 12, you don't want anything to do with them. They know nothing. You know everything. And they are a fucking pariah. You don't want to be with them at all. And being seen with them was like a source of shame. It's like getting caught with an underage transvestite prostitute now. It's that embarrassing as a teenager just to be seen with your dad or your mom. And I don't understand. And it's going to happen to you, Frank. This is going to happen, and it's going to crush you.
Now, let me ask you this question.
It's going to crush you.
You have a grandmother, an elderly grandmother. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I do.
You ever help her, you know, outside, walked up the stairs or something like that?
All the time. She's in a wheelchair. She has a walker, whatever. You know, you get her apparatus,
right.
Whatever she's using that day out. You help her along. Yeah.
Okay. Now, would you have been embarrassed helping her walk while you were in high school?
Yeah, actually that would, because it's like, oh God, I'm doing things with my family. It's just some irrational thing that, yeah, you probably would have felt embarrassed about doing that. And I don't even think that it's you're helping. I think it's just that you're with them.
I was probably about 15, 16 years old. And I was taking my grandmother to church because she was staying at my mother's house. So I took her to the church near us. And she wanted me to help her up the stairs of the church. So, you know, she grabbed onto my inside of my arm there.
Uh-huh.
And then I, you know, and she had trouble walking. She had arthritis and whatnot. And I saw somebody from school I knew, and I let go of my grandmother, and she kind of tripped down the stairs a little bit because I was too embarrassed to be seen holding my grandmother's arm.
That's a little bit terrible.
Yeah,
I think the embarrassment would stop at me having to do it. If I was in the process, I wouldn't fucking drop her because I saw a little skip from fucking gym class.
Oh, so you wouldn't? Okay, so that's where you draw the line.
No, I mean, if I'm already helping her out, and you know, her life is basically being balanced because I'm holding her shoulder or whatever, and it's either her falling down the stairs, and me not being as embarrassed. I mean, like, think about it. If she falls, you're gonna be fucking embarrassed as hell. Now all the attention's on you. So it's
did you ever fall yourself though? I can remember
the worst.
My freshman year of college, I slipped on the ice and I fell right on the back of my head. It was just awful. And I got up real quick too.
The worst is like you're in a like this happened when I first started going to Rutgers. I'm in a new place. I don't really know a whole lot of people. Granted, I'm still in New Jersey, but I don't really know a lot of people. It's a big school. I'm going out of one of my lectures and like 2-3 steps down the staircase, and then it's just I fucking completely fall down, slide down on my ass in front of everybody. What do you do? You just like pick yourself up, dust, and just fucking walk out, and know that everybody thinks that you're a complete and fucking utter douche. It's the that is the most embarrassing thing, just falling down steps, because maybe somebody comes up to you and they're like, "Are you okay?" And you're like, yeah, I'm fine. Even if your fucking leg's falling off. Now, even if your wrist is sprained or whatever. Yeah, I'm good, dude. I'm good.
You want to hear something really, really freaky?
Yeah.
And tell me if you would do this. I had a step grandfather. He wasn't, you know, a blood grandfather.
Yeah.
But he was getting up there in the years, and my grandmother asked me if I would help bathe him. Now.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I swear to Christ. So, I helped him into the fucking bathtub.
Did you do it? Did you?
Of course I did. What choice did I have?
Did you look at the schlong?
It was revolting, dude. It was just awful. It was an awful experience.
And how did you pick him up? I mean, like, you had to pick
him
up
under
the arms.
Shoulders.
Under the arms? You hook him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing. His fucking huge, just disgusting, stringy old man sack.
Now listen,
just
he was
waving
born in
around.
Too, so you know he wasn't cut down here, you know what I'm saying?
You looked.
Of course I looked.
Did you have to help him scrub anything?
No, I did not.
Okay,
I did not scrub anything.
How far did your duties extend?
I just helped him in and out of the bathtub,
and that's it. So he took care of the rest when he was in the bathtub.
Right, but I had to sit in there.
You had to strip him naked and then carry him to the bathroom.
I had to strip him naked, but I had to go in there and just stay in there, and I was staring at the fucking wall the whole time.
Why couldn't he go in the bathtub, partially clothed? Take the shit off and then just run the water while he's sitting in the fucking.
We couldn't leave him in there but alone because last time he slid down and he almost drowned in the bathtub because he was sliding down. He couldn't keep himself up.
Oh my God.
It was just an awful, awful. Dude, it's just. That's going to be you and me one day. I guarantee it.
I'm not going to have help from anybody. I will refuse it. Leave me stinky. Leave me stinky. The embarrassment goes on a curve, first of all. When you're a kid, you're not embarrassed. When you're a teenager, you're highly embarrassable. And it goes to a point when you're too old to even realize that you're embarrassing. You're on a bed all day. You smell. You're covered in piss, whatever. You don't even realize, hey, I'm in a pretty embarrassing situation. Oh, now my bald step-grandson has to carry me in the fucking fireman's carry to the bathtub while I'm naked.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, probably 12 at the time, but either way.
You come in there like... like you're the bully that holds somebody up behind their neck, pick them
and
up
then
off
I had
the ground.
Yeah, it was just a very, very awkward situation.
And you looked at his balls. And
well, I didn't stare at it. I was there, hanging right there. You know, you're helping him in. You're looking to make sure he's not going to fall.
you look right at his balls to make sure he's not going to fall.
I didn't look directly
down
at him. I glanced at it in the peripheral vision.
How many times? Several. More than
I
once.
Don't fuck it. No. While you're helping him in, you're looking over to make sure he's okay. And you
got
an
eyeful of that aged cock.
Off.
And it wasn't. You know, is it bad that he's not even related to you? Really?
He was the only grandfather I ever knew. So even though he wasn't blood related, he was the only grandfather I ever had. So it was almost like he was a grandfather. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. That's just embarrassing. Why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
I like your flow.
This is Rob Geggs, executive producer of Best in Show Radio, which is also heard on the Heroes Talk Radio Network. Here's what's happening on Best in Show.
I was at work the other day, and this is a really embarrassing moment. So, I was at work, I'm working with a teacher, and the teacher's wearing a blouse, and she has this Band-Aid in the middle of her chest. And I guess she went to, you know, get something removed or something, maybe a mole. But, you know, she's wearing a low-cut blouse, and you can see this Band-Aid, you know. And you know, I'm with the teacher, and I'm a teacher's assistant, and I'm helping the kids get ready for lunch or whatnot. And I'm raising my hands, and I'm talking with my hands, telling the kids to get ready. And out of the back of my eye, I see the teacher come behind me, and I whack her with my hand right on her boob, right where the...
On the Band-Aid?
On the Band-Aid, like, because the Band-Aid's right by the boob.
Like a bullseye.
And you hear, like, bells go off? Like a slap.
Like an attractor.
No, all I heard was, ow, oh, and, like, she's, like, kind of, like, took a knee. She took a knee. She was...
You knocked her down!
She's, like, 45, you know, 40, 45, and she took a knee.
Even though he's not acting anymore, still bringing the house down to their knees.
Hold on, hold on. I need more specifics.
It's like a pun. But I hit her in the chest. And when she took a knee, I was like, oh my God, are you all right? You know, Miss So-and-so. And
no, all no, the, I'll be all right.
All the kids are like watching this all go down because they're all sitting down just watching.
Any laughers? Did anyone laugh?
No one laughed. Everyone was kind of shocked almost. They were like, oh my God, like, just knocked my teacher out. Like,
what a school of pussies that wouldn't laugh when their teacher got knocked
this
out.
This is pre-K. This is about pre-K kids.
Right, pussies.
Best in Show Radio is live every Thursday night from 8 to 11 p.m. on HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk radio chat room on PowTalk. Best in Show Radio is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk radio network.
The DJ New Style Show.
Sit back, relax, and partake in another Jack Session.
Yeah, this is Jack Francone, and you're listening to Jack Sessions, the world's first and only podcast dedicated to masturbation techniques. Thank you for coming tonight, everybody. All right, so tonight we got something a little different, a little special for you. It's kind of like our first sponsor. So I'm at the gym, you know, trying to keep fit, and I see this guy, and we get to talking, and it turns out that this dude is about as into jacking it as I am. We hit it off, and hey, this guy goes into his locker room, into his bag, he reaches in, and he pulls out his fucking iPod, and the goddamn thing is filled with episodes of this show. Can you fucking believe that? He goes to me, I got this great shit I use on my cock, and I figure your listeners could probably try it out when they're trying to spit seeds on their fucking mouse pads. I didn't ask what it was called, I didn't ask to see it, I look at the guy, he's a class act, I give him a handshake, then I wipe my fucking hands in some of that Purell shit, because apparently I forgot just what the fuck we were talking about for the last 15 minutes. And anyway, I told him I'd have him on. So without further ado, joining the show tonight is my new friend, Rich Lovesgick. How are you doing there, Rich?
Wow, I'm so good. I am so good.
That's great. That's great. Why don't you tell us about this lube you came up with?
It's unbelievable. It's so good. You guys have no idea. And the best part is that it's all natural. Okay? All natural. I make it from things that you find around the house, and it's biodegradable.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes. Basically, you glob a bunch in your hand, you slather it all on there, and slather it, and slather, and then it'll keep your penis greasy for about, like, 10, 15 minutes. Even in an asshole.
So this stuff has got uses beyond just jacking off and looking at broads.
I don't even use it for that.
So it's that fucking useful, huh? That's amazing. What is it called? What do you call it?
It's called your dad's ass.
What?
Your dad's ass. Make it out of turkey skin, gray flannel cologne, some cigar ashes, and other random poultry fats. It is the best lube not on the market. That's the tagline we're going with.
Your dad's ass.
Your dad's ass, yes. Yes, it feels and smells just like your dad's ass.
Well,
Well, I gotta say, first, thank you for having me on here to promote it. I'm really grateful. I'm hoping to get this thing off the ground and just hit it running, you know?
Yeah, well, great. Thanks. Thanks, Rich. Hey, where can some of the people that listen to this this fine podcast, where can they buy your dad's ass?
You can buy it right online, right on the web. My domain, my website is myfullname.com.
So it's richlovesgeek.com. You can go there and
it's pronounced Lovescock.
Okay.
Again, thanks for having me on, and I'll see you at the gym. I'm totally going to get you a little container of your dad's ass for you to keep in the locker.
Okay, yeah, we'll see you.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Well, that's all the time we got for Jack Sessions. I'm Jack Francone, and thank you for coming. I need a fucking new gym. I need a new gym with less queens.
Little soul clap. Flight of the Conchords. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. Thanks for coming back. Decent little break we had going on here. Germ Freak, how you doing there, buddy? Doing okay?
How you doing, sir?
You didn't have to assist anybody to the bathroom while we were away?
No.
You didn't have to carry any old men? Didn't have to offer any bodily assistance? None of that, right?
Nope.
So during the break, I'm thinking, you know, I was laughing at you as you were saying this, but I mean, I've actually had to offer some bodily assistance as well. Not carrying, you know, naked grandpa to the bathtub, nothing like that. But have you ever had to help somebody pop anything in a place that they can't reach, like a zit or anything like that? Have you ever had to do that?
No.
Would you ever do that? If your wife comes to you and says, I really need help. I have a huge zit on my back. I need to pop.
I don't do that.
So you would just let her suffer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is really
I would
amazing.
Let her suffer.
Because we had an email sent in from our friend, longtime listener, and stalker of Steve the LARPer, John Kling. He says, my mom has one of those same cyst things that you said you have. This is addressed to me. And it's kind of just like a very open pore, actually. And over time, it fills up with sweat and oil or whatever it is. And it turns into a lima bean-sized lump under the skin. A lima bean-sized lump under the skin. It's on her back where she can't reach, and my dad refuses to touch it. So I have the pleasure of squeezing the shit out of it once every couple of months. And it smells so bad because it's not mine. I guess he's referring to that things you like to smell on you.
Where did you get your medical license, number one?
What are you talking about?
Well, why are you squeezing things on people's bodies? Maybe they should go to the doctor.
It's a pimple, something like that. It doesn't matter. He says that's the difference with this type of stuff. If it's not your own, it's so gross. But if it's yours, there's some weird little pleasure out of smelling it. When it comes out, it's like one of those semi-soft zits that's not liquid, but not a solid little chunk. So it comes out like the stuff a sea cucumber squirts out and coils up weirdly. If it was on me, I would get so much satisfaction out of squeezing it out and then smelling it. But because it's on my mom, it has the power to make me very grossed out.
Oh,
now,
for Christ's sake.
I have helped somebody squeeze something very similar to this on the back of their neck. My grandmother has a cyst-like little thing on her neck just above like the cuff of her shirt, so you can see this thing. It's very visible. It looks like a very dark spot, like a very dark gray spot with a lump under it. I'm looking at it. It looked terrible. I'm like, Grandma, what is that? She says, I don't know what it is. I got this thing, and she really pushes it, and I see stuff starting to come out a little bit. And I'm like, well, I mean, have you ever tried to squeeze it? I'm like, I can only hit it. I can't remember. So I'm like, well, all right, you know, just figure I'd give it a shot and see what happens. I was more curious rather than wanting to help. So I took to it and I started squeezing it, and this little slug, this disgusting sludge started pouring out of that open little fucking huge pore. It was really dark green or dark gray, not green, and it looked like a slug. It was big and disgusting. The smell on this thing, I almost wanted to vomit. You would never do that for a loved one, for your kids, your wife. Never.
No. 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 Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. My kids, but not my grandmother.
Really? It's awful.
What about, like, did you ever get a splinter as a kid?
Yeah. Everybody's gotten a splinter. Those are easy.
How traumatic was it to get a splinter as a kid? It was the most traumatic thing in the world.
I got a splinter! And you run in, and then you know what happens? Your deadpan face father comes out with that little cup of tools.
Fucking needle, man. He comes out with that friggin' needle, puts it under the flame of the fucking fire to sterilize it, and he comes towards you. It's probably one of the worst experiences ever.
There's no way. There's no way. He grabs that thing, and then he pulls it away so he can see it in the light, and then he just ends up just scoring your finger out until you get that splinter.
Awful,
and then you're
awful
left thing. With some kind of a big hatchet wound, somebody took a drill bit to the tip of your thumb, just to get a little piece of the deck, just a little bit.
Now, I don't even, if I get a splinter in me, I just leave it there. I don't even take it out anymore.
You don't take them out. Shut up.
What?
You leave the splinters there.
Eventually, they'll go away on their own after showers and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the thing with the
thing you do with your ears.
Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were plugging the station. What's that? Go ahead.
No. Did your grandmother? What went through your mind as you were doing this?
Well, it looked really like gross. It looked like there was some kind of like a.
Were you into it? Like you wanted to discover yourself what was out there, and you were really getting into it.
Well, when I noticed her jab at it, and like a little bit of stuff came out, I wanted to see what kind of just disgusting filth slime would come out of that fucking thing. So
was she writhing in pain as you were doing this?
She would go, oh, occasionally, like that. I'm like, it hurts, and I'm like, well, okay, I'm done. No, keep squeezing, get it out. Whatever. Okay,
that's
grandma.
So foul, man.
I just took that and I went, whoosh. It was kind of gross. So like I felt disgusting having to like wipe that off and like wipe off the greasy little, I guess it's like a cyst pus and filling or whatever. Wiping that shit off and I looked at it a little bit, but like the waft hit my nose, like it almost knocked me on my fucking ass. It was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. That's it from you?
What can I say?
I mean, usually you, I don't know, ask about, like, why would I do it? You know, I don't know, Frank, you're not your usual self today, because you're usually more inquisitive, and about random things, about things that I did, things that I used. As I'm thinking about this, you know, the questions you're not asking, things that you're not interested in.
Why don't you just...
I didn't even use like rubber gloves or anything like that.
Put some type of alcohol on it, I'm sure.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't even do that. I just took like a tissue and ripped it in half and just fuck it.
Did you smell your hand afterwards to see if it went through the tissue?
You didn't need to. You did not need to. It almost turned the tissue clear, like when you put a greasy like cheesesteak on wax paper or like some white paper or something like that. And it was kind of like almost liquidy, not quite solidy. Not quite completely liquid.
First we start off talking about boogers. Now we're talking about cysts.
It almost was like a thicker booger consistency, but not the crispy kind. You know, not like that. It was really, really gross, Frank. Nothing from you. Nothing.
I'm
shocked and amazed that
I have nothing.
You're riddled with OCDs and just germophobia.
Yeah.
And you have nothing to offer.
I cannot force anything upon myself. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's amazing. That is amazing. See, the thing with this, Frank, I honestly expected you to be so disgusted when I brought this up. I saw this email. I figure I'm going to talk about the cyst thing, and I'm thinking this is really going to get Frank's goat. This is going to get him going. But no, nothing, huh?
I apologize.
Did you take a nap before the show?
No.
Did you play any Wii? What did you do? What did you do before the show?
I played Wii.
What game were you playing?
I was playing the kart game, you know, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Mario.
Right.
Yeah, Mario Kart. When did you get that? Did you buy it for yourself? You fucking big child.
No, I bought it for the kid, I got trophies in the kart. In the 50cc, I won, I got a trophy in all of them. Now I'm working on the 100ccs to get trophies.
Just to let everybody know, you threw down the gauntlet. You knew I had the game. You knew that you could connect online, play each other. And you spoke so fucking huge about your skills with this game. Did you not?
Yeah, I did, and I kicked your ass.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
In one race.
Okay. I fucking embarrassed you. I was playing and on the other side in my house as I'm playing you, I was hoping your entire family was circled around you as you were playing, like it was the movie fucking Wizard with Fred Savage watching him play Super Mario Brothers 3. Just, I was hoping there was a whole fucking audience that could see you just get completely destroyed after the fucking shit that you talked about you being incredible. You're gonna, oh, new style, you're gonna be fun, you're so terrible, I'm gonna, when I hit the mushrooms, I feel like I'm flying.
When I hit the mushrooms, I really feel like I get the sensation that I'm really floating in the air when I bounce off those mushrooms. It's a very, very – I guess it's close to being on LSD, if you will, just to feel like you're in the air and bouncing.
Actually, I would pretty much say that it's probably nothing like that.
I apologize.
Frank, I destroyed you. And the one race that you claimed to have won was the time that you called me up and you asked, how do you quit this game? We want to play with other people, so I'm trying to figure out how you can quit in mid-game, and apparently you can't. So I took 30 seconds to figure that out, and I'm at the starting line. You had already begun racing, and we finished it out, and you won that one because you had a fucking 30-second head start. Don't fucking tout that. I'll destroy you any fucking day, any time. Any day, any time, Frank.
You're
I'll come at you with the fucking hot needle like it's a splinter removal time.
You're very full of yourself. You're good at everything, aren't you?
No, I'm not good at everything.
I mean, you know, DJ New Style, I'm great at everything. You know, I'm this, I'm that. You think you're above average in every fucking thing you do, isn't that true?
No, I actually think I'm.
What is something that you suck at? What are you horrible at?
I'm a terrible fisherman. I don't know. I'm just I'm not very good at a bunch of things, but the things that I'm halfway decent at, I like to do. And especially
you're good at playing snowbells or snowballs, whatever that fucking thing is.
All right. Well, I signed up for Facebook a while back, and I had gone through my spell as a Facebook wrestler, cyber athlete, as Chris from Best in Show. That's bestinshowradio.com would say, cyber athlete. And then I decided I wanted to look for games where I could probably make a difference. Games that had little to no playing audience, so that any score would put you in the top 10. So I found Winter Bells, and they had like 200 people playing it. It's probably the gayest game you could ever imagine. It's you play the role of a little white bunny, and the only thing you can do is jump. And the way that you progress through the game is you jump on a shiny white Winter Bell that makes a single tone and propels you a little bit higher so you can hit another fucking bell. And you go up and up and up and up and up until you hopefully beat one of the Asian scores at the top and the game is over. And I am proud to say that as the game has become more and more popular, I have secured for the lifetime of the game the number one spot in forever. I will be the champion of Winter Bells on Facebook. Frank, are you proud of me? Did you try the game?
I tried it and I was bored with it.
Winter Bells is an amazing game, Frank. And why were you bored with it? I don't understand. How could you be bored of such a magical game?
How proud are you of yourself?
I'm very proud. I broke the game. I scored the maximum allowable points. I'm the Billy Mitchell of fucking Winter Bells. Not that you know who that is, but you know, people actually see things and they watch movies and enjoy themselves, and they're not wrapped up in some kind of just basement underworld like you. Winter Bells is a great thing. It's an incredible game. It's so merry and nice. Frank, you didn't play it very long?
I played it half a game.
Never mind. I'm playing right now. I can't pay attention to you. Oh, look, I'm hitting bells. This is by far the gayest thing I've ever done in my life. This is the video game equivalent of sucking a set of balls. Oh, and I died. This is the soundtrack of the game in which
it's
your character...
It's a catchy tune.
It is. It is a little bit catchy. You play the role of a fluffy white rabbit in a snowing, serene winter environment. And the goal is to get as high as you possibly can. It's the stupidest premise for a game ever. I can't even fucking take that anymore. Playing that for a half hour straight will give you wrist arthritis and won't get you the number one spot because I'm permanently in the number one position. No matter what, whatever you do, Asians, bring it on, Tokyo. What now, Cambodia? You can't do nothing. Winter Bell's champ forever. You can't do any better than me, Frank. Can't. Are you a fan of the Facebook games? I mean, is that what you're doing?
I was a fan of the bowling, the brain game. But you know, you get into it. It's sort of like eating Raisin Bran. You know, you get into eating Raisin Bran, and all you do is fucking you crave Raisin Bran for a month, and then you get sick of it. It's the same thing with that.
Oh man, look at this.
Phone is ringing. Oh my god.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this? Uh oh. Nobody. Yeah, I can kind of hear. I hear a little bit of an echo from them. Maybe they'll call back, Frank. I don't know. Winterbells is not like Raisin Bran, Frank. While I understand the fact that you can get bored with Raisin Bran, is it possible to hold a world championship in Raisin Bran? I think not. You are talking to, right now, a world record holder for, albeit a very gay game. That's what it is. And I'm not embarrassed, because I am the best in the world at something, and no one will ever take that away from me, since I broke the scoring system. I don't understand, Frank. I don't know why you didn't try to stick to it. What I like to do is I like to get a new Facebook game that you've played and beat your scores.
But I beat you at bowling. You've never come close to me at bowling, number one.
I can't play that game.
But whatever.
I've lost 70 straight challenges. I cannot play that fucking game. Ever. I'm just not good at it. I'll admit that. You ask me things I'm not good at? I'm not good at the bowling game. How about that, Frank? How's that for you, you son of a bitch? You know what I am good at? You know what I am good at? Yes. Winter bells. Oh, this is so nice and lovely. Jump, rabbit. Oh, I'm getting bells, Frank. Oh, this is the most homosexual thing in the entire world.
This song,
listen to this. Your rank is one of 1,509. But still, what does this song remind you of?
There's a song out there. I can't think of the song. I don't know the name of the song. It just sounds like another song I know of. I don't know.
Well, it's probably from the 80s. Frank, what's with you? I'm really concerned. You don't seem to absorb anything new. That's been a gag, you know. You love the 80s, you love Bon Jovi, but like really, like why don't you absorb anything new? Why don't you experience new?
I can't absorb it in my brain. I don't know what it is. My facilities just shut down after 89. Nothing gets into my brain.
Your
nothing.
Facilities shut down after 1989.
Yeah. My faculty.
your faculties. You've seen. You saw the Batman movie and you figured this is about as good as it's gonna get. The Prince soundtrack, fantastic.
I think the Batman movie. I think Nicholson as the Joker was fucking awesome, man. Awesome.
Well, maybe we'll bring it back a little bit. Something that you might be aware of. We came across this on StarPulse.com. It's the top 10 corniest TV theme songs from the 80s. Now, Frank, you think of the TV theme song. Do you enjoy it? Does it make you feel like you're part of the viewing experience? What do you think of when you think theme song?
I think of, you know, getting the anticipation of getting into the show and getting that feeling, you know, that you're anticipating all week and here it's coming. You're that much closer to the actual show because you're hearing the theme song. You're going to be there pretty soon.
You're getting there. You're getting to the plot.
You know you're at the fucking starting point right
this
there.
This is it right here.
Song.
We'll go on to number 10. Probably your favorite show. I would say
this is the number definitely. 10 what? Corniest theme song of the 80s?
Yes. Did you enjoy the facts
See, I'm
of life?
Getting chills just listening to this right now.
Chills? Why? Why are you getting chills?
I had a thing for Natalie.
For Kim Fields. Wait, for Natalie? Shut the fuck. Nobody wanted to fuck Natalie. Except, the only people that fucked Natalie was the Good Humor Man for charging $10 a popsicle.
I don't understand about this show. Is the first season of this show, there was about 20 girls. Then the second season, they all left except for about three of them. And then they added that lesbian, that dyke.
Joe, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. You know what? I bet you would bang Joe
if given the opportunity.
And they make no reference to these people who left the show.
And why is Edna Garrett from Different Strokes, an amazing show, a masterwork, why is she all of a sudden running a girls' school or whatever
the fuck
this is?
That's what you call a spinoff.
Yeah, but she went from washing the toilets and fucking,
right.
I don't know, Mr. Drummond.
Is that your impression of Charlotte Ray?
Yes. I didn't know you were on a personal basis with
I
her.
I apologize.
Is she dead? Do you think she's dead?
I do not think she's dead.
She's got to be dead.
She's not dead.
You don't think she's dead? Would you like to put money on this?
I'll pay $100 that she's not dead.
Really? Okay. Oh my God, no.
Are you gonna pay $100 too?
No, I won't. Let me go check.
Oh, go fuck yourself then.
She's still alive. She was born in 1926. She's 82 years old. 82 years old. She was twitchy as fuck in 1986. How is she not dead yet?
Did you watch this show?
I watched a little bit of The Facts of Life, but I was a Different Strokes fan. I was a Different Strokes fan. Moving on down the list, this is StarPulse.com. Cheesiest or corniest TV thongs.
Yeah. Number nine, I just want to say number nine. I've never even seen this show.
You've never seen this show, but it was truly an 80s show. It did start in the 80s.
Okay.
A certain listener of ours, a female listener, loves this show.
Whatever happened to predictability?
You've never seen this?
I've never seen this show.
You've never seen an episode of Full House?
Never saw Full House.
Get the fuck out. How did you go through life? Is it because it aired in like 89? Is that why?
At that time I was fucking almost 19 years old, 20 years old. But I do remember a thing in the early 90s. It was called TGIF.
This was like the anchor of that.
It was a block of shows, and I think this was part of it. I think that
Solera checking in. She says Frank was living Full House already. Why would he watch the show?
That is true.
Yeah, you were the overly hand washing Uncle Joey.
But I remember Friday nights hearing previews for something called TGIF, which I never really watched, but I just remember hearing TGIF, and I think this was part of it.
That was the premiere show. That was the flagship show of the TGIF lineup. I do believe. I don't know. But you never saw it. You never watched a single episode.
I never watched
were
the
you,
full
were
episode.
Were you aware
I never
of it, though?
Full episode.
I mean, I've never seen...
I've never watched a full episode.
I've never watched an episode of Sisters on whatever channel it was on, but I knew it existed. You were aware of the existence of Full House.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. Now, this next one, Frank, number eight, let me just tell you, fantastic show. Fantastic show.
Well, you had to think for one of them.
Thank you for
being a
friend.
Yes.
Travel down the road and back again.
Oh, you can just belt this shit out. You're Frank, your heart is true. You are a pal and a confidant. I remember when I was little, I thought that lyric was, you're a pal and a comforter.
But why don't you admit that you had a little bit of a crush on Rue McClanahan? Why don't you admit that?
If I had to fuck one of the Golden Girls, I've said this repeatedly, it would be Rue McClanahan. Well, who am I going to fuck? Rose? I mean, yeah, you could probably pull one over on her and have her, convinced that you were a descendant of someone she may have fucked in St. Olaf. But it's probably a long shot.
Now,
anybody could get up on Blanche!
What? See, this is what I find disturbing, the fact that you know the characters' names. That's what I find very disturbing.
You knew Charlotte Ray!
That's not the character's name, that's
the actress! That's even worse!
I'm a big fan of Charlotte Ray.
You're a big fan of hers? I didn't know.
What's your
favorite thing that she's done?
Let me
ask you this. Did you have a crush on Tootie?
No.
As she became a woman, did you enjoy Tootie? Kim Fields?
I did not know. No, I didn't have a crush on any of those people.
Are you sure about that? Because Kim Fields grew up to be, quite the woman, I would say.
Well, she became a full-figured woman, didn't she?
Full-figured in the chest.
Yes.
She was on another show. Do you remember what that show was?
I think it was called Singles or something like that. I don't know, something.
You are correct. It is called check it out, Living check Single. It out, come on.
Single. Ooh, in the 90s kind of world, I'm glad I got my girl.
terrible. Just fucking terrible.
But, I, yeah.
Ooh, just a mess. Frank. You know,
I remember that. What I remember is
Golden Girls. Number
Golden
eight.
Girls was on, I think, on Saturday nights.
I can honestly don't remember the how, I don't remember the
how
day.
How pathetic were you if you were home on a Saturday night watching Golden Girls?
after going out as a teenager, after going out to a movie and dinner with your parents, come home on a Saturday night to fucking watch an episode of Golden Girls, written by Christopher Lloyd. There were a few episodes written by Christopher Lloyd of Taxi and Back to the Future fame. Marty, it's your kids. That's my impression. That's the extent of it. Number seven, Frank. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I did enjoy this show as a youth. I enjoyed it.
Show me that smile. Ooh, show me that smile.
Did you enjoy Growing Pains?
I did not really enjoy it that well. No.
That well, you didn't. You enjoyed it,
maybe,
but you were very poor
episodes
at it.
My wife was a big fan of whoever the kid was in there who played the son. I don't know what the hell his name is.
Here it is. All the time! Right there. Mike Seaver. Oh, I liked how occasionally, like, Mike would be the last one. He'd give a little wink and a point to the camera and then stroll on back to the house. Oh, what a
now,
terrible
fucking show.
Don't you
do an impression
show
of Alan Thicke?
Gee, Mike. I'm a pretentious cocksucker. And I have a doctor's office in my living room.
But my wife was a big fan of the actor who played the son. I don't even know his
Jeremy
name.
Jeremy Miller? Ben Seaver, who is obviously gay. Let me ask you something. Why is the youngest son on every single fucking sitcom from the 80s, why are they the biggest homos?
I don't know,
but
that's a good thing. You
Danny
have the,
Pintaro? You have the kid from Home Improvement?
Yes.
And then this one, Ben Seaver.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And the next one coming up, I think the son was actually gay in real life.
Yes, I believe this is another example of that, Frank. Right here.
I've got a blue van and I'm knocking on your door because I want to clean your house all day.
It's a fucking terrible show. Fucking terrible show. Fucking sex predator van.
Mona! Mona, you're so sassy. You stole your entire gimmick from Blanche, Mona.
The 80s had gay youngest sons and oversexed old ladies. That's
he was a horrible actor, wasn't he?
Hey, I'm Italian.
But the thing with, at the end, the kid had almost no part whatsoever. He barely even said anything. He was too busy
sucking cocks, that's why.
Well, listen, I didn't say it, you did.
Oh, you know, Danny Pintaro, I think he, like, tap danced on Ellen, okay? I mean, you don't necessarily have to say that you're gay, but the minute you bring tap shoes to Ellen and fucking do a little bit of a clickety-clack, you know, you're pretty much telling the world that, hey, you love balls.
Now these are corny, they are corny gay songs, aren't they? They give you douche chills.
They do a little bit. I know for a fact that number five, I watched the show. I enjoyed it as a kid. It was something to laugh at. And Sheepy loves the theme song. That's good enough for all of us, I think. Right here, number five. Oh, here it is. Oh God, here comes Larry Appleton. He's leaving for a big city. And there's Balky Bartokomis on a bus, smiling like a fucking retard at the Statue of Liberty. I've never seen so many fucking awkward smile takes on fucking anybody but Bronson Pinchot in this fucking terrible show. You know what? I'm gonna say something here, Frank. Borat might be a really cheap imitation of Balky. Did you ever watch this show?
I've seen a couple episodes of it, yes.
Are you aware that you look like Larry Appleton from this fucking show? If you had the 80s, I'm Jewish or Italian, Mexi-mullet fro, you would look like Larry Appleton. Oh, I'm so hapless and frustrated all the time! Fucking Larry in this show.
Carson Larry, you lied to Balky.
Terrible. Nothing's gonna stop me now as a fucking main line in a theme song. Just garbage.
Just corny and
just
and
fucking
gay.
Garbage. Absolutely fucking terrible. terrible. Number four.
What's the number four most corniest song of the 80s?
The number four, oh, it's a good thing you asked. I'm going to get my paint by number out right now and just get my oil paints, trace a little picture of Michael Gross, Michael J. Fox. I guess we've been together for a million. Frank, if I called you up at like 2 a.m. and just started singing this to you, would that be gay?
What do you
I think it would be. This fucking theme song is rage-inducing. Absolutely rage-inducing. Oh my god, the pasta's spilling! Oh, here comes Fidgety Alex! He's gonna... Yeah, there he is, drinking another tab. Oh, you should have cut back, Michael J. Should have cut back. Now your nervous system is in shambles. Here's the best part, Frank. Oh, so terrible. So terrible.
If I could just go back to something real quick. In the previous show, did you ever watch a show called Surreal Life?
Yeah, I did.
He was the guy who played Balky. He was in the Surreal Life, episode where he was crying uncontrollably. It was just the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life.
Somebody probably asked him to do the Dance of Joy to make everything okay at that point too. Speaking of Surreal, it's interesting you bring that up because the number three show included a cast member.
And I do an impression that leads.
No, you don't. No, you do not. You absolutely don't. The new boy in the neighborhood. Frank, he lives downstairs, but this is all about you. You live downstairs, except you're never understood.
Now this show was never on prime.
What show
was
that? Charles in Charge. What were you saying?
Was this a primetime show?
I don't know. I think
it was something that was on like 6 o'clock at night or something like that. Or
I remember that when people were talking about Who's the Boss coming on, they're like, oh, it's another Charles in Charge with a red-headed old lady.
But I do an impression of Willie Ames. Charles! Charles!
No, that's my impression. You stole it. Charles! Greatest idea ever, being a shitty sitcom, Charles! Charles! Fucking terrible.
Now,
the 80s, a random man comes over to restore order in my house. I mean, they had this in not only Who's the Boss, Charles in Charge, and, you know, not listed. By the way, not listed in the fucking list of corniest theme songs, Mr. Belvedere. How awful was that show? I can't believe that was excluded.
I saw the first pilot episode of Mr. Belvedere, and I saw the final last episode of Mr. Belvedere. That's all I ever saw, those shows.
Did you see the very special one where
I did not.
He put 12 British inches into Wesley.
I don't think that's appropriate.
I don't think it is either. This next show, number two on the list.
The next show here, I unequivocally, and that's a God's honest truth, I've never even heard of this show.
She's a small wonder. Oh, here he is. He's a robotics engineer that looks like Whack Flash. Ted Lawson. Holy shit. Watch this fucking theme song video on YouTube. He looks exactly like fucking Whack Flash. So let me get this straight. This guy has a fucking pretty high-end job with a robotics engineering firm. And what he's going to do is he's going to build a little girl that he's going to keep in the closet and only bring out when he needs her. So basically, he has the 80s version of the real doll, except it's a kid, basically. Fucking pedophile. Oh, and the nosy neighbors. You've never seen this?
I've never seen this show, honest to God.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Whack Flash the dad was a little bit.
Was this a primetime show or like a Saturday morning show? Like they had the other one there.
I'm not very sure, but we have a call here. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this? Oh, you got to be kidding me. Did I fuck the phones up? Yeah, I guess they're not working. Wonderful. Fantastic. Fucking fantastic. If we take a break, I'll fix them. Fuck it.
Take a break.
No, we're at number two. Fucking dope. Let's take a break. Yeah, if you're calling in, just fucking talk, and if we hear you, it'll be a miracle. No, nothing. Oh, well, fuck it. So listen.
Hello?
Oh, he's here.
Yo!
Whoa! Who's this?
Vicky.
It's Vicky the robot. Wow.
Now who's Vicky now?
Now, Vicky is the robot that Whack Flash built on Small Wonder so that she could clean and basically be his fucking robotic sex slave. But it would be all cool if the neighbors didn't find out. So, Vicky, what's going on?
I have some observations about Small Wonder, if you would entertain me for a moment.
I think, well, who would be better to list observations than you? I mean, you were the star of the show.
Fair point.
And go.
Why is it when a man invents the most advanced robotics in the history of mankind, does he live in a middle-class house?
Yes, that is what I want to know. The most lifelike robot
ever. You would think someone so talented would have a nicer place to live in.
And Vicky, I always wondered why when he pulled your back panel open, it looked like the inside of my talking Alf doll.
Clearly, the special effects budget on our show wasn't as hot as I'd like it to be.
Oh, my God. Well, Vicky, what other observations do you
have? You would also think that robotics wouldn't look like a bunch of flashing LEDs you'd get from Radio Shack.
That is a fair point. Very, very keen observation, Vicky. Any others?
Yes.
How is Whack Flash as a dad? Continue.
How is it that a man can invent a robot yet cannot invent a monitor for the 90s that displayed more than 16 colors?
Very, very interesting. These are all good questions. Frank, you've never seen the show.
I've never even heard of this show. It couldn't have been a primetime show. It had to be like a Saturday morning.
Vicky, were you on a primetime show? What kind of show was this?
It was a sitcom.
Thank you very much, Vicky. I appreciate your call. Oh, my God. Surely you've heard of Number One, Frank. I mean, you have to. You have to.
I have.
There's a storied past with this show. It's very interesting. If you're gay, no one really gives a fuck. Listen to this. Listen how bad this is.
Life is such a sweet and simple
Life is such a sweet insanity with synth guitars. We're talking about, of course, the Hogan family, which started originally as Valerie's family. Day by day, whatever bombs away. This is where Jason Bateman got his shot, and where Dominic Monaco actually played.
That's incorrect. Incorrect. Jason Bateman got his shot on Silver Spoons.
Oh, that's right. This was his big role though, and Dominic Monaco played one of the twins, the irresponsible one, Willie. Danny Ponce. He looks exactly like Dom. If Dom were a child and wasn't a swarthy creep. Dom's awesome. Oh my God. This is diarrhea inducing. Frank, would you fuck to this? How many fucking verses do we need on a theme song? This is 2 minutes long. The shows were 22 minutes long.
This was the actual theme song that's still going on?
Yes! This is a YouTube video of the fucking show intro.
Holy shit!
Oh, and Sandy Duncan was on it. Ms. Tumor Eye, which really brought a little bit of a...
I always had to look at her eye to try and figure out which is the right one, which is the fake one, and which is the real one.
Yeah, it kind of brought a little odd reality to the show Funny Face that she was on. Oh, my God.
Oh, Edie McClurg was in this, huh?
Yeah, of course. She was the nosy neighbor. She was also, I think, in Small Wonder, I think. I think. I mean, she was always that neighbor that...
Josie Bassett. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Apparently, she was killed in the plane crash with John Kennedy. Josie Bassett Kennedy, I think her name was.
Oh, okay.
No, you fucking dope. She was on some other fucking shows. I don't know. Doesn't matter. That, do you really think that that's the worst one we could come up with? The worst?
Yeah. I don't know. Why?
I mean, what are some glaring exclusions? I mentioned Mr. Belvedere, and I think whenever you have a show that fucking begins with fucking Leon
Redbone.
We're talking
about corny ones, right?
Yeah.
Let me think.
Oh, here it is. Do. Another show along the lines of Strange Man Comes Over and Saves the Day in Our Family. There was Who's the Boss, Charles in Charge, and Mr. Belvedere. Fucking terrible, terrible, terrible songs. I chose this as an ironic selection for my site, Shitty Covers, which is shittycovers.tumblr.com.
That's a shameless plug.
We can get, yes it is. And you can't tell me that Wesley wasn't a homo.
I don't even know who Wesley is.
Little Wesley, the problem boy. Who got several attitude adjustments in his ass from Mr. Belvedere.
Now, obviously, people are mentioning Family Matters. That was not on here, was it?
No, it was not. And why would it be? It's a 90s show. But if if it was a list of corny 90s theme songs, it better not be on there as well. Because this is probably the greatest song ever written, Frank. I mean, are you familiar with the show?
Yes. I think it was part of TGIF.
It definitely was. It definitely was. This is it here. It's so rare condition this day and age to read any good news on a newspaper page. Love and tradition underground and some people say we went out of the ground. Oh, there's Darius McCrary, the fucking bargain basement Theo Huxtable for the show.
Now, what I remember about the show, they'd have a picture of the grandmother reading Rolling Stone magazine with the police on it. Like, the police was some fucking hip group.
Yeah.
That's the hippest group that gets, the fucking police.
Days go by, we're gonna feel our love with happiness. Or whatever, I don't remember the full version. Yeah, the Mother Winslow's reading about the police. First of all, they wanted that to be cutting edge, right? Why wouldn't they put a fucking a copy of Jet or Ebony or Vibe?
Exactly.
Or double XL, if that was
I
around.
I think because, well, I don't want to say it, but whatever.
Well, why?
No, I don't
go by. It's the Nick Bigger love of the family. Yes.
Now, did you know that Reginald Vell Johnson was gay at that time?
The thing is, this was supposed to be his big show. This was supposed to be him as the star. This was right. His opportunity to become Cliff Huxtable. This was going to be his vehicle, but no. Urkel stole the stage, and he fucking resented it forever. Urkel. Are you one of those people you have to impress people by saying the fucking the star's name? Is that
no,
what it is?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because I know.
Yeah.
How's that impressive?
I don't know.
But he stole that show.
He did steal it from him.
Just like Henry Winkler stole Happy Days from Ron Howard. Well, that was supposed to be Ron Howard's vehicle.
Are you sure? And then, I thought Potsy was supposed to be the fucking star.
No, Ron Howard was the star of that show.
Featuring Anson Williams as Potsy. See, I did
See,
what
I'm
you did.
I'm surprised you remember that show. Because
I did what you did. Wait, why are you surprised?
Well, because you were – by the time you were only 4 years old when it went off the air. So I'm surprised you even know that show.
Are you aware of reruns? I mean, I don't know. Do you think things get broadcasted and then that's it? They're lost forever? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, why would you be so stunned that someone like me or someone younger like Ababra would be aware of Happy Days? Why does this stun you? See, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that you've heard of George Washington because he's before your time. Some things are historic, and one of those is Happy Days, goddammit, especially its spinoffs. Joni Loves Chachi and Laverne and Shirley. Thank you.
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, you see that? Oh, TV knowledge, Frank. Maybe you should have some. Have a healthy dose of TV knowledge. I need to take a break here. I gotta piss. Frank, I need to piss. What are you doing to me here?
Later.
Later?
Have a nice piss.
This is the DJ News Style Show. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna play one of my favorite Germ Freak radios. What about that? Okay?
Yep.
HearUsTalk.com. DJNewsStyleShow.com.
The DJ News Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude.
That's why we might as well take our time.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay. That's so fucking corny. I'm embarrassed I even said that. All right, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh. What a word's for when no one listens, there's no use talking at all. Do you hear me?
Well, now, Germ, can I interrupt for a second? You're gonna do your Germ Freak Radio tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't we get to it? Do the first one, please.
Okay. Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horn gesture used by many rock groups today. Published his first album, but you don't really publish your album.
Yeah, you don't. How about you bring it together? How about you piece it all together, put it all like a puzzle, get it all out there, and give it to the people?
I'm doing my best!
Jesus Christ! Just do it!
This hard rock... Shut up, you asshole! I'm fucking doing it. Now shut your fucking hole. I'm sick of your crap.
Go fuck off!
Oh, that's my fucking thing. Born Ronald James... Listen... Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horn gesture used by many rock groups today. He made his first single in 1958. Oh, God. There's just nothing here. Listen to me. Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by many rock stars today, which symbolizes the maloika used by many Southern Italians. In 2008, a petition was formed in order to have this person run for president. In 1983, fuck! It's a fucking bore! I'm trying to make it more interesting than it is, and it's a fucking bore!
How about you cut out, like, three fucking lines? Do we need to know it's the Molochia? Maybe. Do we need to know, James Padovano popularized
the
fucking... Yeah, go fuck off! How about you make it fucking interesting, then?
Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by many rock bands today, which started with many Southern Italians, which means the evil eye. He produced his first song in 1958. A petition is being signed right now for this individual to run for president. The DO for president, last.fmpages.com. I'm sputtering. Born Ronald James Padovano.
Look, stop. We all know his name by now. We all know what he did. The puzzle pieces are on the table, Germ. The pieces are on the table. Intelligently and gracefully piece them together and deliver it to the people.
Born Ronald James Padovano, this hard rocker popularized the devil's horns gesture used by most rock bands today, which was started with Southern Italians, because it symbolizes the Maloika, a.k.a. the evil eye. He produced his first song in 1958. There is a petition going on for him to run for president of the United States. God, I'm sorry. You know what? Erase that. I'm a fucking mess today. Let's cut off where we're at. It's from his 1983 heavy metal album. It's number 13 on VH1's Top 40 Greatest Metal Songs. It's Ronnie James Dio with Rainbow in the Dark!
We'll be right back. DJ New Style Show. DJ New Style Show is back. Bitches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, snap. You happy? Yeah. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. Check out some of the older shows. DJNewStyleShow.com. We're trying to spruce things up a little bit. Spruce it up. Get it clean. Get a complete archive of every single show that we've ever done. And some that Frank has not been a part of. Frank, you've been, on the show since 1:32?
We started at 9 o'clock, didn't we?
No. Episode. Fuck it, oh. Frank. Jesus.
I apologize.
Oh, man, I hope you have something prepared right now. I hope you have something for us here.
Not much.
What do you have? What's the deal here, Frank?
I have things that bewilder me.
Things that bewilder you? Shock and amaze you?
Yes.
Put you in a state of wonderment? I have no idea. What is this? Which bit is this? Let's face it. Let's do this correctly. Are you suffering through a few dilemmas?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Now it's time for Germ Freak's Dilemmas.
Dilemmas! Yes, Frank. What's going on? What are your dilemmas?
Would you rather be somebody's pet cat or somebody's pet dog?
So, I have to become somebody's pet.
Yes.
But it's either cat or dog. It's nothing else?
Yes.
Not like an exotic pet?
No, just cat or dog is the choices.
Have you ever had an exotic pet?
Yes.
What did you have?
I had an iguana.
You had an iguana?
Yes.
Wait, hold on a second. You had a fucking iguana? What kind of freak are you that you had an iguana?
Didn't I just say that? I had an iguana, but I didn't know how to take care of it. I wasn't aware that you needed to have a heat lamp. And it just froze to death.
How long did you have this fucking thing?
Well, I had it in the garage, and it just froze to death in the winter. And then I didn't realize it until I was wondering why it never moved. And then I went to touch it, and I realized it was frozen stiff. But its eyes were still open. That was the scary part.
So do you think when did you discover this? About like a month later or something?
No, well, I realized it wasn't moving, and I was like, wow, this thing's easy to take care of. It doesn't eat, doesn't drink, doesn't move. And
you are a fucking horrible person.
And then I moved it a little bit, and I realized it was frozen stiff, but its eyes were still open. So that's why I didn't think it was dead.
Heat lamp. All right, let's get back.
Nobody told me that.
Let's get back to this, yeah. Oh, it looks like we have a caller here. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a cruel germ freak. Who's this?
Hi, it's Alki.
Alki, what's going on, buddy?
Just wanted to play along. You don't even have to talk to me, but usually I have a lot of answers for when we play this game, and I end up shouting at my laptop.
Sounds good. All right, so you gonna fucking frantically pound the keypad on your computer too?
No. A dog or cat? I'd rather be a cat because cats don't do anything.
Cats are the laziest. But the thing is,
I get a litter box. I can shit and piss whenever I want. If I was a dog and I had to pee, I would have to, like, scratch at the door, claw at the fucking blinds. Way too much effort being a dog.
Frank, what would you be? Alki would be a cat. What would you be?
I don't like cats myself because I'm allergic, but I would be a cat because you don't have to leave the house. You could just take a dump inside the litter box.
See, I just...
If you were a cat, then you would have to have sex with another cat, and you just said you don't like cats.
The thing is, I disagree with both of you. A dog becomes a part of the family. People fucking love a dog. They treat a dog really well. They'll pay for expensive operations on a dog. A cat gets a fucking tumor. Deal with it. Deal with it, toonses. Good luck with that fucking lump on your back. Bleed it out, buddy.
You are correct if the dog is living with an upper to middle class white family. But if a dog is living with a white trash family, a black family, or a Hispanic family, they have no shot at medical care or feeding whatsoever.
Yeah, but
I
think...
So you have to be adopted by the right family.
But the thing is, I think that you have a better shot at being taken care of as a dog because nobody treats a cat well. Let's face that. How many times have you kicked a fucking cat out of the way? How many times have you forgot to feed the cat? The cat is lazy, but there's a reason. It's malnourished and unloved. That's my thing.
Have you seen a black dog?
a dog that happens to be black or a dog that's owned
by a black family's dog?
You know what? I rarely see black people with dogs.
Exactly. They don't make it.
Okay, this is Irish Alky talking right now. I just want people to know that.
Oh, yeah. This is not respective of... I don't know what the fuck picture Rob Giggs has put up.
What the hell is that?
Some Giggs, just save that for me, because I think that might be a decent thing for the episode.
That's fucking wild, yeah, man.
It is a little bit wild, I would say. Frank, so we disagree. What's the next thing? What's the next dilemma?
Would you rather be able to walk on water forever or be able to fly for 1 year?
So for 1 year, I can fly. And are there any restrictions on my flight?
None.
It's unlimited flight. I never get tired. I can go as fast as I choose.
Whatever. Yeah, don't make it more difficult.
For 1 year. Well, I'm weighing the fucking options. If you tell me I can have one job versus another.
The question is what it is. Don't sit here and dissect it.
So I'll be able to walk on water forever.
Or fly for 1 year.
Alky, take it away. What do you got?
What would you need to walk on water forever for?
You could visit Europe.
Oh yeah, you could just take a jaunt down to Europe. Frank, I don't walk to Pennsylvania. Why the fuck would I want to walk to Europe?
We could take a boat. You could drive to fucking Pennsylvania.
Anything I touch will also be able to go over water.
Yes, you could drive to fucking Europe. How fucking awesome would that be?
Do you understand? It's fucking 13 hours driving to Chicago. Do you know how long of a fucking drive it would be to go to fucking France?
Unless you have 12 stoner friends that you want to convince them that you're Jesus, there is no point on walking on fucking water. Yo, Jeff, Mike, Luke, and John, come over. Check this out. Watch what I'm going to do in the pool.
Or you could really just take over Chris Angel's gig. That could be the thing. I mean, because he doesn't need to do a big water. I walk on water stunt. I'm creepy and somewhat emo and gay, Chris Angel.
I'd rather be David. If I could walk on water or be David Blaine for a day, I'd rather be David Blaine.
For 1 day. Frank, what would you choose?
Water for life.
Frank, what would you choose?
Well, being that I'm afraid of heights, I would choose walking on water.
You would. And would you actually try to walk, like, with your powers? Would you walk to Europe? Do you know how fucking disoriented you would be?
You could walk to Hawaii, for Christ's sake.
Do you know how disoriented you'd be when you're fucking 60 miles out and you see nothing around you? Yeah, you would starve to death. Hey, you can walk on the top of the waves, but you're fucking starving in the North Atlantic.
Do you think there's any birds that are afraid of heights, Frank?
The bald basement dwelling eagle.
That just chills on the sidewalk all day and goes like, "Man, I'm afraid. I'm not going to do it.
Fuck
I'm not
this.
Taking off today."
The ostrich. It's not that it's unable to. It just really doesn't like heights.
The turkey and the penguin. We named all three.
What do you got next, Frank?
Would you rather live as the boy in the plastic bubble or live as the elephant man?
I think I'd rather be the Elephant Man. I think the Elephant Man got a lot of snitch, if I recall correctly. Some broads just like guys that are fucked up. And then the best part is when you die, people will collect your remains.
Have you ever seen his bones? Have you ever seen his skeleton?
No, I never have. Alky, what would you do?
Does the boy in the bubble allowed to have visitors? Like within the bubble?
Is there an extension of the bubble that he can insert his cock into, thus having safe bubble sex?
You mean
sex?
Like a glory hole bubble?
Well, not really a hole, a glory indent.
There's no human contact.
See, that's not good. Because if the boy in the bubble could have sex, I would choose that. But I'd rather be the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The Elephant Man. Does he have elephantitis of the testicles too? Because I've seen that.
I don't know.
It's like you're on one of those big rubber balls with the handle.
Yeah, like beanbag nuts.
Yes.
Did you ever see that Indian guy with the big balls? He like walks around with these big balls. He has to like...
He had elephantitis of the testicles.
That's what we're talking about. 316-768-4472. Hold on a minute. Yeah, you're on the DJ New Style Show with Irish Alky and Germ Freak. Who's this? He hung up. Fuck him. Anyway, Frank, did you have another dilemma? I'm not so sure about this, but did you?
Yes. Would you burn your mouth really badly every time you eat pizza, or never eat pizza again?
This is kind of an easy one. I burn my mouth every time I eat pizza anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never do. I honestly never do.
You hear the patient one? You wait for it to cool off?
I do. I need it to congeal. I don't like when the grease pools up. I need a congealed room temperature slice.
Do you put a napkin over to absorb the grease, the oil?
No.
People do that. People pat it down. I just let it go. Just let it sit for a bit. Talk to a friend. Talk to a loved one. You know, communicate for a bit.
Whenever I eat pizza, I have to like wash my chin and afterwards because I get like a smell. There's a smell that lingers from the grease.
I gotta grease the grease. Greasy foods. I have this fucking weird thing. Like if I'm eating ribs or wings, after each rib or wing, I will have to wipe my hands completely free of grease. I will go through like 50 napkins with one plate of wings. After each one, I have to get the grease off my fucking hands. And then I go back in and I get more grease. It's fucking... I'm fighting heart's war here with it, but that's what I have to do.
If I really wanted to turn this into a dilemma, because that's what we're trying to do, I would go with never eat pizza again as opposed to burning myself every time, because when you do burn especially the roof of your mouth with pizza, it pretty much inhibits your eating for the next 2 days of whatever the fuck you're trying to eat.
You know,
one of the most annoying things is to burn the roof of your mouth.
Injuries to the soft and hard palate are fucking disgustingly terrible.
And then you get that dangling piece of dead skin in between your two teeth.
And you rip it, and then it just never heals.
It all day.
Yeah.
So I would go with no more pizza.
You have to basically forget that's there, because the minute you're aware of it, you're probing it with your tongue. You're like,
yeah, you never stop. And then you rub your tongue raw on the back of your teeth.
The worst. The worst is when you jab it with like a bone or something. But Frank doesn't do that because you don't eat things off the bone, do you, Frank? You don't eat ribs off the bone, chicken off the bone, nothing like that.
Why not? That's the most flavorful meat.
Frank, do you do that or not? Would you respond, please? Frank?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, my bad. I don't know why I had your volume down. Oh, my God.
You are a complete asshole.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny? We only just noticed it now. I don't know how long it's been like that. But, oh, well.
Well, Alki, you say you enjoy pizza. If somebody offered you $100,000 to never eat pizza again, would you take the money?
Yes.
To never eat pizza again?
Yes.
$100,000, yeah.
I would take $100,000 to shove my fist up a faggot's ass. Pizza does not need to be brought into this equation.
Yeah, exactly.
$100,000.
What about $500? They'll give you $500. You never eat pizza again. You're physically unable to.
Oh, man.
$500.
It would have to depend on something that I really wanted that day. If something I really wanted that day cost at least $500, I would probably take the deal.
You would agree with anything.
No version of deal or no deal.
Yeah, you look in your wallet, you don't see $500. You walk past a window with a fucking, like, the PlayStation 4 comes out. It's like,
oh, man, I'm like, I really need Rock Band 2.
Would you like your really arms or $500? Like, I would like to play PlayStation 2. Do they have a foot pedal? Yes, they do. Okay, take them. Frank, do you have any more of these?
Well, yeah,
these
I have
dilemmas?
another food question. Would you rather never be able to eat pizza again or hamburgers again?
So you have to give up either pizza or
either
hamburgers?
Hamburgers or pizza.
How many Domino's did you drive by today, Frank, before you came up with these?
I would give up. I'm telling you, I would give up the hamburger. I would give up the hamburger. This is a risky decision here, because I don't know. I fucking love them both so much.
I've had some good hamburgers though, man. I love White Castle,
and I've had some fucking incredible pizza.
What have you eaten more of in your life, pizza or burgers?
Probably, you know what? Probably burgers. I have to say.
I'll give up burgers too.
Just pizza will come into a fucking your day, and your day is horrible, and it'll make everything right.
You know why?
Pizza will correct the world.
I have a reason behind it though. I'm gonna give up burgers in the hopes that in the future someone offers me $500 to not eat pizza anymore, so I can really get what I want on that day.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Alki and Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is David.
Hi, David. How are you? Would you give up pizza or hamburgers?
I'll give up pizza.
Why?
Because I'm allergic to cheese.
That's fantastic.
So you can't give up. You can't give up cheeseburgers, though.
Well, I don't eat cheeseburgers.
Well, let me put it in terms that
pizza. Yeah, they only eat cheeseburgers.
Let me adjust the dilemma, Frank. Do I have permission to adjust the dilemma for David?
Please do so.
Okay, which would you rather give up, paint chips or putting keys in outlets?
Wait, what was that?
Thank you very much for calling the show, David.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't mean that. I didn't mean that. I did. Frank, what do you have next for us?
Well, I don't know if we have time, if time's permitting. Maybe just a couple more
Yeah,
here.
A couple more.
Would you rather eat your entire diet for the rest of your life cold or eat it overcooked?
So basically burned or just not quite right?
Yes.
Just not quite done or just freezing cold? Which would you
now,
rather?
Now, I don't like my food hot. I only eat my food lukewarm. When the food is served to me, I have to wait at least 10 minutes for it to cool off. I do not like to eat food and suffer through it while it's burning hot. Why suffer while you're eating?
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's what I do with my pizza, you know, with the congealed stuff. Alki, what would you do? Undercooked or overcooked?
Are we throwing vagina into this equation?
So you're saying
that might be the only reason I would make a different decision.
Yeah, because if it's vagina, you would definitely choose undercooked so that you can maybe get a stab at a 16-year-old.
Because I would like it like raw, like right off the bone.
Jesus.
Right out the womb.
I have a similar one along this. You have to eat pig genitals. Pig.
No.
Pig genitals.
Okay.
Choose your gender.
Oh, shit.
Do you eat a pig cunt or a pig cock?
I've never seen a pig cunt.
And no, neither have I. But I could only imagine that it's terrible. Look at their noses,
you know,
for Christ's sake.
You know what? I'm going to go with a male pig. Because I've seen people eat testicles before. Like,
holy shit! Rob
what
Giggs!
Oysters, whatever they're called.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rob Giggs.
People love that shit.
Rob Giggs on his cam has zoomed in a picture of an animal vagina with a stimulated clitoris.
It looks like a lamb, though, Rob Giggs. He's totally off on that.
Oh my god, is that fucking disgusting. So, you would, Frank, what would you choose?
I'd probably have to go for the vagina.
I mean, you're not going to get much with the vagina. At very least, you pan fry it. Maybe it looks like bacon.
Exactly.
But a pig dick probably does look like just like a teeny dick, you know? So, I don't
probably
know.
Probably pretty gamey, too.
Probably pretty gamey. So, Alki, which one did you say you would choose?
I'm going with the nuts.
You're getting just the nuts.
not even for a pig, just anything. Even if it was, you know, just a guy. Just I'm going with the nuts.
Just anything. Any species, you would go with the balls.
I don't care. Give me two nuts. I don't want one, though. I want seconds.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. Frank, I really thank you for bringing forth some of your dilemmas that clutch at your brain day
I'm
in,
glad
day
I'm
out.
Helpful.
And Alki, thank you for calling in. What is it? TheWhatShow.com?
TheWhatShow.com.
Please plug your show.
It is the What Show every Friday night on Just Pal Talk in the Opie Room at 10:30. You can also download them at thewhatshow.com.
Yes, all the details and media are at the What Show.
Email FM Jeff.
TheWhatShow.com. Thank you very much, Alki. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Newstyle. Bye.
Oh, anytime, Frank. What a guy. What a guy. And I love that you two have patched things up. By the way,
thank you.
I really do like that. It's good to see. I mean, I know we have a couple things on our outline here. I'm not really sure. We probably shouldn't get to it. It's it's maybe a little bit too late. So why don't we just end the show? What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. We do have a caller here. I'm going to try to get them on real quick. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this? Nothing. So fuck you. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Episode 184. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Go to HearUsTalk.com. Don't forget Thursday nights, Best in Show Radio on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Now, Frank, do you have something you'd like to say
But this is us! Yeah, no, shut up! Good night, everybody!
But this is us!
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Yeah! Hot shot! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!